Good evening. Good morning. Good day. Thank you for joining me this evening at this time. This is the service for the midweek Lent, March 19th, 2020. This service is in podcast form. I want to thank you for joining us. This is in the midst of some very interesting times in the world, in an effort to maintain normalcy and certainly a connection with Christ our Savior and getting together to worship in spirit and in truth, though we can't be together in body. Our Savior, Evangelical Lutheran Church and School in Grafton, has decided to record these services and post them and present them so that we can worship together. Somewhere on the internet page or on the link, you should find the bulletin that has an abbreviated worship service. I will be reading all of the parts, both that of the pastor and that of the congregation. Those of you familiar with the Wisconsin Synod and our liturgical practices, you should find it pretty easy to follow along. My name is Jeremiah Bockhaus. I am part-time pastor here at Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church, and it's my pleasure to share God's Word with you this evening. The service will continue as follows. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Hasten to save me, O God. O Lord, come quickly to help me. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God created us to know joy in communion with Him, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation. And so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. By our sin we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under His judgment, but to turn to Him and live. Therefore God in His mercy has sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take our place under the law, to suffer for us and to die the death we deserve. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. During these days of Lent, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. The time of Lent reminds us that to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, we must also know the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are called to struggle against everything that leads us away from love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to confess your sins, ask our Father for forgiveness, and commit yourselves to this struggle. Let us be silent. Let us be still. Let us pause now for a time of reflection and self-examination. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We confess to you, O God, that our hearts too often turn from your way. We have chased after things we thought would make us feel good. We have neglected things that are good. We confess to you, O God, that our minds too often turn from your truth. We have flirted with falsehood and rationalized wrongs. We have questioned your goodness and challenged your justice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Dear believer in Christ, your sin is forgiven, for Jesus paid its price. Your guilt is gone, because Jesus endured its shame. You have received the Holy Spirit to assure you that God is your dear Father and to empower you to live as his daughters and sons. Amen. The Passion history for us in the fourth Lenten service is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 57 to 68. This is Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.' Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, 'Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?' But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, 'I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' 'Yes, it is as you say,' Jesus replied. 'But I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' 'He is worthy of death,' they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, 'Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?' This is the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sermon text for us is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So far, the Word of God. Lord, guide us in truth. Your Word is truth. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. What a time to be alive. To my knowledge, there hasn't ever been a situation in my lifetime or in the generation before me that compares to what we are actually going through right now. The housing market has been ridiculous for years. The economy is going from record high to near record drops. Russia and Korea and the United States seem to be on some sort of three-way political battle royale. And then onto the stage comes the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. If there ever was a time that qualified for a time of wars and rumors of wars, we are in it. And war is not a term that I use lightly here. Some of you were or are soldiers and are more familiar with that situation than I am. But as for me, I'm a product of the Cold War. My dad was a scout for the U.S. Army and was stationed in Alaska just in case the Russians invaded. And he would tell me about the jobs that scouts would do. And scouts are very important in the Army. Their job is to read the signs, to notice things, and then report that back. The verb for this type of word is reconnoiter, which is weird and awkward. We don't really say that much in the world we live in today. So it's been changed to a reconnaissance mission, or simply recon. Lent is a battle season. It's a time where we watch and listen to the passion history, the highest pitched battle that Christ fought for us, where he won the war, but battles still rage. And Lent reminds us of that. It's timely and poignant that this text and theme comes to us at this precise time. In our text today, we get a recon report. And in this report, Paul gives us the lay of the land and points out the path to victory. Reports are very valuable things. In this modern world, we may have become a bit desensitized to that. The morning news running the same quote-unquote breaking news segment for 4 hours from yesterday, claiming that it's a special report, doesn't really build it up to us as something that we should drop everything and give our full attention to it. Yet there is a purpose to that report. It is to pass on information. A famous news anchor, Walter Cronkite, was known for signing off his reports as saying, "And that's the way it is." It's almost laughable that not a single news anchor came to my mind as being the type that could or would say something similar to that with such conviction. The reason that it's so difficult is that a report also gives a bit of a commentary on a situation. In the lives of humans, it generally isn't a type of 2+2 reporting. Oh no, there are motives and intrigues that happen. And depending on your own political bend or conspiracy theories, things may make more or less sense. And man, is the media tapped into that? Truly, I'm baffled at where to turn for simple fact reporting. There is a whole quote-unquote news show on the Comedy Central channel that is entirely commentary on the current news situation. Be it Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, BBC, and even NPR, whatever your political views might be, you have to be aware of the fact that the source you are listening to has a bias. And that bias brings out the third point of a report: to give direction. We have all heard the phrase, "This was only a test." Had this been an actual emergency, or we have all heard the Surgeon General warns, and certainly today we've heard the CDC says, or the mayor, governor, or president says. These reports of what authorities say are meant to direct the people to whom the powers are leading in ways that are beneficial, ideally to all people. In this information age, though we're desensitized to the breaking news of reports, we really do thrive on them. We love reports. We love to find reports that validate our position. And maybe even more so, we love to find reports that invalidate contrary position. But there is an inherent problem with reports. If you don't listen to them, they're worthless. Besides giving information, there's also a plea in a report. A report begs one to look, learn, and lead based on the information contained in the report. Look at the information. Learn from the information and lead utilizing the information. Paul pleads with us in the report before us. He pleads that we would look at the struggle that continues to this day and take it seriously. He uses the word wrestle in this section. Struggle or wrestle. It's a full-on competition using all of your strength. And this struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not with men whom we contend, but the corrupted and corrupting forces of this world. And one might erroneously think that these verses allow for one to contend against the governing forces of the day simply because they are on the other side of the aisle, or they think that the other side is doing something against their beliefs. Well, hold on. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but the powers of this dark world, where the danger is truly coming from. And that darkness, that power, yes, it's a euphemism for the devil. The devil gets in and twists things that are good and useful and turns them into tyrannical and power-hungry things. He gets his fingers into wise people and turns them flippant or fearful. The report of Paul tells us the situation as it stands. That's the way it is. The information is, for the believer, there exists a struggle in living in this world. It's a world that is full of sin and corruption that wants to tear you down and consume you. And the clear commentary of Paul is, this ain't good. And the direction that he gives after his emergency announcement is, get ready. If we use the look, learn, and lead idea of using report, we are made aware that there are hidey holes for darkness everywhere. In the powers that be, in the governing bodies, and even in the unseen realms, what we learn from that information is that the devil is sneaky. He has so many ways to get in and mess with our situation. So where do we lead then? It would seem that we have two natural choices from this information. Either take it seriously or not. I sum these up by saying flippancy or fear. The reaction to finding out that you are surrounded by foes can so easily lead one to see doom on every corner, or to treat every corner as if it wasn't important. A mentality of, this is stupid. There's never been danger on this corner before. I don't think there's a problem. I've tried to stay a little bit away from the current situation of the world, but it is too much of a reality for us not to address in some way. We are in a time of bad reports. Italy and China are crippled. The United States is on lockdown. Some people have even compared the current situation to life in communist Cuba. It is truly a time of scary reports. Precautions are being taken and cautions are being advised, including what you're experiencing right now. Not gathering of more than 10 people per government orders. Yet how many people do you know who have COVID-19? That's a question of the flippant. That's the question of someone who doesn't take it seriously. The question of the fearful is myriad. They have so many questions. They have too many questions. Those who are fearful may be afraid even to open their door as they might be infected. In the face of such reports, it may really seem that fear and flippancy are the options available. Yet Paul leads the Christians of the Mediterranean and us on a different path. The direction and leading of Paul's report is not one that leads to flippancy or fear, but to Christ. In the face of all the dangers that lurk and contend with us, Paul would have us see Christ. Paul would have us see Christ as the goal and path of our existence. Paul would have us be aware of all the very real hardships and dangers around us, the ways to fall away, the temptations to willingly step off of the path into soul-destroying adversity. Paul would have us prepare ourselves for such hardships in a beautiful and simple way. This section of Scripture is often called the Armor of God section. Those of you who know me a little bit better know that I am a martial arts instructor as well. I'm someone who deals with armor and swords, and this image speaks so powerfully. It speaks so powerfully, especially to a Christian in Lent. You see, the knight in armor is an amazing thing. After having been encased in steel, he is able to face almost anything that may come at him on the battlefield. He truly is a juggernaut or a tank. He's able to ignore so many dangers because he has that protective shell around him. Christ is your shield. Through his saving work, he has laid out your protection in black and white. He offered his life to pay for your sins and took it back up to announce that the payment was good, and the glories of heaven now stand open and ready for your arrival. Heaven is yours through Christ. True peace and safety are yours through Christ. In Thailand a few years ago, a soccer team was trapped in a cave. Some of you may remember this. It was one of those reports that came that spoke so wonderfully of different nations and peoples working together for something truly good. And finally, through all the muck and side caves, they were found, and a rope was run from their cave to the outside. Around them, on their escape, there were dangers that would have killed them, would have trapped them possibly in another cave or even underwater. But in their hand was that rope, that clear path to freedom. Do you think they let that grasp loosen too much? I don't think so. They maintained a firm grip on that rope, that path to freedom. Christ is that rope for you. He is the way through all of this craziness that is infected in the human existence. He is the light that banishes the present darkness of this world. He is the light that no darkness can overcome. In Him is our sure salvation, won at the cross and empty tomb. Cling to Him. Cling to your Savior. More than any trek out of a cave, Christ is your way through all of this. Returning to the current situation, when the reports of coming closures and quarantines came out, some people started to prepare. They went to places like Costco, and well, Costco's all over the country ran out of something as simple as toilet paper. Some others did nothing. And now restaurants, taverns, and other parts of the food industry places are closing. And it seems that this may last a little bit longer than we had originally thought. In a moment like that, a little bit of prepping for a possible problem isn't such a funny thing anymore. But what about real prepping for a real thing? Paul's point, there is a real thing. It will be with you every day of your life, but there is a real solution to that problem. Christ. A little preparedness is not a bad idea. Put on the armor of God. He says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Keep yourself connected to Christ. He is the power and salvation of God. He is your safety. I really like Luther's thoughts here. He says, if you wish to be strong and invincible, let the Lord Christ be your strength. Take hold of Him and exercise yourselves in Him, that He is well known to you, and preserve His word in its purity. Learn it diligently, use it daily, and impress it upon your mind and soul with such intensity that God's word and your heart by and by become one and the same thing, so that you may be sure in your confidence, more certain than of your own life. If you have done that, then you are really strong and firm and will remain unconquered and secure. If you wash your hands to be safe from sickness, your hands smell like soap. If you bathe your soul in Scripture, to be strong against the traps of darkness, your whole being will echo Christ. This is not a situation for fear or flippancy, but a call to be prepared, to be bathed in the Word of God, to be ready. Paul's recon report has shown to us who are living in a spiritual battlefield the lay of the land. there are dangers all around. Dangers that can swoop in and really damage our souls. But he has also shown us the clear path to victory. Christ. The battle is won. The sickness is completely defeated in him. See him. Bathe yourself in him. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. This is the armor of God. This is the call to action from Paul's report. A little preparedness goes a long way. Prepare yourself in Christ. Amen. And God's word brings a peace that surpasses all human understanding and will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue by praying. Lord Jesus, you suffered our sorrows and endured our punishment. You earned our forgiveness and secured for us eternal life. Our life hangs on your parting promise to be with us always. When we face problems bigger than our ability to solve them, remind us that you are with us always. When we wrestle with fears about our health, our job, or our finances, remind us that you are with us always. When we worry about those we love, remind us that you are with us always. Holy Spirit, Jesus gave you to be another counselor for us. The Spirit of truth who inspired, interprets, and applies Scripture. When we doubt God's love or question our forgiveness, remind us what Jesus said. Teach us all things, Spirit of truth. Fill us with Jesus' love and power. Dear Lord, our protector, in light of recent events all around and over the world, we ask that you spare people in our communities, our country, and in other nations harm to both body and soul. Grant healing and strength to those who have been afflicted with the coronavirus or other sicknesses. Be with those who provide care, give them wisdom in guarding them from danger. Calm those who are fearful of the unknown. And grant us through your word a consistent faith and trust in your promises. Build in us a spiritual confidence as you have shown us your faithfulness so many times, especially in the saving work of Jesus. And finally, help us to be alert for our opportunities to witness to your grace and share with others the confidence we have through the good news of our Savior. Merciful Father, we seek your strength and comfort for Jim and Carrie Brick, their daughter Sue, their grandchildren, and their entire family, as their son, Ben, age 43, unexpectedly died last week. Heal their wounded hearts. Remind them of your grace and keep them faithful to your saving word. In your love, provide for their needs now and in the future. Father, comfort our member Pam Broman and her family as you have answered their prayer and called her mother home into heaven. Secure each of them in your love, especially Pam's father as he grieves the loss of his dear wife. Assure them that your timing is perfect and that your resurrection has proven that you have conquered the grave. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you for joining us virtually and truly in your heart. God bless you as you live your life of faith. God be with you during this Lenten season. My prayer, very earnestly, is that each of you listening spend time in your scripture. Be prepared in Christ. This is a great time for prepping. It's a great time to get to know your Savior. He knows you and has prepared a place for you. I look forward to the day that we meet together again at church. God be with you.